directly calls on the USA, the European Union, and its member states and the UK to recognize that the Zionist regime is committing the crime of apartheid and other international crimes. In this regard, we have prepared an article for you written by Romana Rubel, writer and the managing editor of the Palestine Chronicle. This article is published under the heading 10 Things You Should Know About Amnesty International Report on Apartheid Israeli Regime. Here's the story. On Tuesday, February 1st, London-based international human rights group Amnesty International released an extraordinary report which labels the Zionist regime an apartheid regime. The report calls for the Zionist regime to be held accountable for its practices against Palestinians. The 280-page document entitled "The Zionist Regime's Apartheid Against Palestinians, Cruel System of Domination and Crime Against Humanity" outlines how the Zionist regime segregates and controls Palestinians in order to maintain Jewish hegemony. Though to be fully appreciated, the Amnesty International document must be read in its entirety. So, here we have 10 top points raised by the International Human Rights Group. Number 1. What is apartheid? After defining apartheid as a violation of public international law, a grave violation of internationally protected human rights, and a crime against humanity under international criminal law, Amnesty in its report describes the Zionist regime's intent to oppress and dominate Palestinians. Since its establishment in 1948, Israel has pursued an explicit policy of establishing and maintaining a Jewish demographic hegemony and maximizing its control over land to benefit Jewish Israelis while minimizing the number of Palestinians and restricting their rights and obstructing their ability to challenge this disposition. Number 2. Geographic scope. According to Amnesty, the system of segregation extended beyond the so-called Green Line to the West Bank and Gaza Strip, which the Zionist regime has occupied in 1967. Quote, "Today all territories controlled by Israel continue to be administered with the purpose of benefiting Jewish Israelis to the detriment of Palestinians, while Palestinian refugees continue to be excluded. Although Israel's system of apartheid manifests itself in different ways in various areas under its effective control," the report reads, "it consistently has the same purpose of oppressing and dominating Palestinians for the benefit of Jewish Israelis who are privileged under Israeli civil law regardless of where they reside," unquote. Number 3. Treatment of Palestinians. The Zionist regime should be labeled an apartheid regime because Palestinians are treated by the Israeli regime differently based on its consideration of them as having a racialized non-Jewish Arab status. Number 4. Territorial fragmentation, segregation, Jewish settlements. Starting in 1948, the Zionist regime pursued a policy of territorial fragmentation and segregation, Amnesty said in its report. Israel chose to coerce Palestinians into enclaves within Israel, and following their military occupation in 1967, the West Bank and Gaza Strip, they have appropriated the vast majority of Palestinians' land and natural resources. They have introduced laws, policies, and practices that systematically and cruelly discriminate against Palestinians, leaving them fragmented geographically and politically, in a constant state of fear and insecurity, and often impoverished. Meanwhile, Israel's leaders have opted to systematically privilege Jewish citizens in law and in practice through distribution of land and resources, resulting in their relative wealth and well-being at the expense of Palestinians. they have steadily expanded Jewish settlements on occupied Palestinian territory in violation of international law, the report adds. Number 5. Legal segregation. Amnesty describes the way the Zionist regime has used military rule as a key tool to establish a system of oppression and domination over Palestinians across both sides of the Green Line, applying it over different groups of Palestinians and almost continuously since 1948. Israel maintains a system of fragmentation and segregation through different legal regimes that ensure the denial of nationality and status to Palestinians, violate their right to family unification and return to their country and their homes, and severely restrict freedom of movement based on legal status, unquote. Number 6. Restrictions of movement and apartheid wall. Amnesty denounces the closure system imposed on Palestinians within the occupied territories and between the OPT and Israel, gradually subjecting millions of Palestinians who live in the West Bank, including East Al-Quds and Gaza Strip, to ever more stringent restrictions on movement based on their legal status. These restrictions are another tool through which Israel segregates Palestinians into separate enclaves, isolates them from each other and the world, and ultimately enforces its domination. Moreover, the report highlights how the 700-kilometer fence or wall, which Israel continues building mostly illegally on Palestinian land inside the occupied West Bank, has isolated 38 Palestinian localities in the West Bank and has trapped them in enclaves known as Sin Zones. Number 7. Political rights. According to Amnesty, the Zionist regime's version of democracy overwhelmingly privileges political participation by Jewish Israelis. Limitations on the right of Palestinian citizens of the occupied territories to participate in elections are accompanied by other infringements of civil and political rights that limit the extent to which they can participate in the political and social life. This has included racialized policing of protests, mass arbitrary arrest, and the use of unlawful force against protesters during the demonstrations against Israeli repression in both occupied territories and OPT. Number 8. Dispossession of Palestinian land. Amnesty illustrates how, since its creation on the ruins of Palestinian towns and villages, the Israeli regime has enforced massive and cruel land seizures to dispossess and exclude Palestinians from their land and homes. Suffice it to say, in 1948, Jewish individuals and institutions owned around 6.5% of Mandate Palestine, while Palestinians owned about 90% of the privately owned land there. Within just over 7 years, the situation has been reversed. Amnesty also mentions the Israeli laws and regulations currently implemented by the Israeli regime authorities to carry out demolitions of Palestinian property in East Al-Quds, including absentee's property law of 1950 and the administrative matters law. In East Al-Quds, the Zionist regime transferred from regime to Jewish national organizations and institutions, many of which serve Jews only, while the legal title of the land remained in the regime's name. Number 9. The Zionist regime's crimes against humanity. Amnesty's report analyzes three major categories of crimes against humanity. That's to say, the inhuman and inhumane acts as prescribed, respectively, by the Apartheid Convention and the Rome Statute. First, it condemns the forcible transfer of Palestinians, explaining that since 1948, the Zionist regime has demolished tens of thousands of Palestinian homes and other properties across all areas under its jurisdiction and effective control. Second, the report addresses the issues of administrative detention, torture, and all ill treatment. The Zionist regime's systematic use of the administrative detention against Palestinians indicates that it is used to persecute Palestinians rather than as an extraordinary and selective security measure. The report also illustrates how the Zionist regime courts have admitted evidence obtained through torture of Palestinians, accepting the justification of necessity. Prompt, thorough, and impartial investigations by the Zionist regime authorities into allegations by Palestinians that they have been tortured are extremely rare, effectively giving endorsement to the crime of torture. Third, Amnesty strongly condemns the Zionist regime's unlawful killings and injuries, which were perpetrated outside the context of armed conflict during Israeli law enforcement activities in OPT, including during the suppression of protests, arrest raids, when enforcing travel and movement restrictions, and conducting house and search operations. And number 10, recommendations. Amnesty states in its report that dismantling this cruel system of apartheid is essential for the millions of Palestinians who continue to live in OPT, as well as for the return of Palestinian refugees who remain displaced in neighboring countries. Also, it urges the need for the international community to urgently and drastically change its approach to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and recognize the full extent of the crimes that the Zionist regime perpetrates against the Palestinian people. Amnesty directly calls on the USA, the European Union, and its member states, and the UK to recognize that Israel is committing the crime of apartheid and other international crimes, and use all political and diplomatic tools to ensure Israeli regime authorities implement the recommendations outlined in this report and review any cooperation and activities with Israel to ensure that these do not contribute to maintaining the system of apartheid. Finally, Amnesty calls on the International Criminal Court, ICC, to consider the applicability of the crime against humanity of apartheid within its current formal investigation, and on the United Nations Security Council to impose targeted sanctions such as asset freezes against Israeli officials most implicated in the crime of apartheid and a comprehensive arms embargo on the Israeli regime.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio.
Thank you.
log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked.
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example.
Self purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamate is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. Please stay tuned. What should we do in order to be guided to the right path? First, we have to listen to the right words. Secondly, we have to try in the best way possible. As we read in Surah Al-Ankabut, Ayah 69, as for those who strive in us, we shall surely guide them in our ways. And Allah is indeed with the virtuous. Striving means reading books on religion. For instance, we can read the books of Shahid Murtaza Mutahhari on different subjects. His works are really useful, and still today they can answer many doubts and questions of the modern generation. One of his outstanding works is titled Divine Justice. This book is still one of the most cited publications on religion and the topic of justice of God. Or for instance, his two other works titled 10 Discourses and 20 Discourses are still discussed among the young generations of Muslims. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, www.parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We'll leave you in Allah's care.
Food for thought.
Salam, friends, and let us present you a brief but bright gem of an advice from the Prophet's 10th infallible heir, Imam Ali al-Naqi, peace upon him. This life of the world is a market in which some people gained and others lost.
We here at Arabi English Radio congratulate all our listeners worldwide on the 43rd anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news, with delight.
Every year, the Copenhagen Light Festival transformed the winter cold and darkness of the capital city into a celebration of light art in Denmark. In February, the entire city becomes the stage, displaying captivating lighting installations presented by Danish and international artists. The works are planted at more than 30 historical sites, canals, and squares, among other urban spaces. Building facades are also decorated with special lighting designs. The organizers and curators of the festival say the event is important because it gives people a chance to rediscover their own city. Also, the event brings life to a dark season that's normally very quiet by offering joyful experiences for locals and tourists alike.
As the 2022 Winter Olympics have begun in the Chinese capital, Beijing, two playful giant pandas at the Moscow Zoo have come to the spotlight for predicting the outcome of the sports event. On the eve of the Winter Olympics opening, Ru Yi and Ding Ding were each offered 5 traffic cones labeled with national flags of the participating countries, represented by the largest numbers of athletes. The cones that got taken down by them were considered as the winners. The pandas then chose the cones with Chinese and German flags on them. Zoo officials say no treats were placed inside the cones to ensure that the prediction is unbiased. The zoo says it plans to continue the panda prediction for all individual and team competitions at the games. Over the past few years, people have become more aware of the detrimental effect of littering on the environment. Now, a Mexican kayaker has decided to launch his own campaign to save the environment. 66-year-old Omar Menchaca usually paddles his single-seater kayak through the floating gardens of the Xochimilco canals near the Mexico City, collecting garbage left by visitors. Menchaca says he normally does the cleanup in the early morning before tourists arrive to the site, using bare hands to pick up debris. The former athlete who did his training for the competitions in the canals says over time he found that the waterways were littered with rubbish.
I knew this place, and I came to this place because here I did my training for my competitions. Unfortunately, over time, I began to notice that some canals were full of rubbish. Xochimilco is very important to me. Xochimilco is considered a World Heritage Site. It does not belong to Mexicans. It is the heritage of all human beings.
Menchaca believes that if people ignore their environment, soon there will be a time when they have nothing to enjoy. He hopes that his efforts to protect wetlands make a small difference and preserve the place for future generations. The Xochimilco site is home to endemic species, including the critically endangered ones, and is usually visited by thousands of people on weekends. The 15th edition of the Tehran International Tourism and Handicrafts Exhibition has wrapped up. As Salman Khojouri reports, Iran ranks first globally for the number of cities and villages registered by the World Crafts Council. Ismo.
The 15th Tehran International Tourism and Handicrafts Exhibition has wrapped up its work. The 4-day event brought together representatives of different sectors active in tourism and handicrafts fields, including airlines, cruise lines, hotels, museums, travel agencies, insurance services, travel and tourism facilities, and masters of handicrafts. The exhibition is considered as the most appropriate platform to optimize face-to-face communication among the involved industries. From a tourism point of view, Iran enjoys two important and unique features. The first one is Iran's exceptional geographical location among countries in the world, and the second feature is its tourism attractions of historical, cultural, natural pilgrimage, adventurous, and other sorts.
Qalamzani, or metal engraving, is an Iranian ancient metalwork art. It is engraved by chisels and hammers on different metals such as gold, silver, copper, brass, and some alloys. Its origin dates back to almost 7,000 years ago. It is the art of carving superb designs on various metals. The artistic work of this course made by the artists are the glorious and undeniable indication of previous metal work of Iran, and in particular Isfahan.
I'm from Hormozgan province, south of Iran. Handicrafts have always been an integral part of Hormozgan province due to the rich culture and special customs of the region. Hormozgan province embraces scenic islands, among which Kish, Hormoz, Hengam, and Qesh are the most beautiful ones and top tourist destinations in southern Iran.
Iran has globally registered 11 cities and 3 villages under their native handicrafts during the past 6 years, making the country a world leader in registering local productions. There are totally 602 handicrafts fields identified on a global scale. 299 fields are special to Iran, from which 199 fields are in the central Iranian province of Isfahan.
With 14 entries, Iran ranks first globally for the number of cities and villages registered by the World Crafts Council, as China, with 7 entries, Chile with 4 entries, and India with 3 ones, come next. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
Joyous festive mood in East Asia as the region welcomes the Lunar New Year with celebrations, including light and lantern decorations of homes and public avenues. People across China are staging a variety of events to mark the New Year, also known as the Spring Festival. Several cities have held breathtaking light shows, with many landmarks and skyscrapers dazzling with colorful images. In the capital, Beijing, the light shows feature elements of the Winter Olympics as the city is getting ready to host the International Games this week. Elsewhere, Malaysians welcome the Year of the Tiger with an underwater lion dance performance in an aquarium in the capital, Kuala Lumpur. The citizens have welcomed the return of the annual event, which had been called off the previous year due to COVID-19 restrictions.
A lot happier as compared to during the lockdown period where you're alone and we do things alone. You feel very lonely, right? Now that you get to be in touch with your family, yeah, it's a lot better.
Even though we still keep the social distance, but however, I feel the freedom to go out and visit and do the things that I like to do.
Celebrations are also underway in Hong Kong, Taiwan and Indonesia. The Lunar New Year, seen as a time of reunion and rebirth, is celebrated by more than 2 billion people worldwide, especially amongst Asian communities. The festivities last for over a fortnight.
Stunning light shows and hanging lanterns have illuminated cities across China to welcome the new Lunar Year, also called the Spring Festival. The city of Zigong has taken the spotlight with a sea of lanterns, turning it into a scene straight out of a fairy tale. The city is famous for lantern making and brings a festive mood this time around every year. The lanterns are usually made in all kinds and shapes, including legendary creatures representing each lunar year on the Chinese calendar. This year's zodiac is the tiger, which is decorated vividly on special couplets. The New Year festivities officially begin on Tuesday and will continue for 15 days. The Lunar New Year is considered the largest migration of people in the world, as millions travel back to their towns and villages to mark the event.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Sub-zero temperatures in the Midwestern U.S. haven't held anglers back from participating in the world's largest charitable ice fishing contest. Some 10,000 people from across the world gathered in the state of Minnesota to put their ice fishing skills to test. They dug thousands of holes in Gull Lake in a matter of hours. Some $200,000 in prizes were up for grabs in the contest. The volunteer-led annual event has so far raised about $4 million for 67 charities since it was first held in 1991. Beryl Carr is a special volunteer at a hospital in London. What makes her special, you might wonder? Well, the fact that she celebrated her 100th birthday last month. Carr has been volunteering in Ealing Hospital for more than 18 years. She works in the hospital's cafe and says her work is her lifeline. This incredible 100-year-old lady says she enjoys helping those who are not as fortunate as she is and that she has no intentions of retiring. The hospital staff say her presence has been very motivating.
And many of us look at her. She's always got a smile on her face, a swagger as she walks. And you come back from a clinic or a ward round, you're absolutely tired, and she just inspires you as soon as you see her.
Even the coronavirus pandemic has not stopped Carr from volunteering. Born in a nearby town, Carr says she moved back to the neighborhood more than 2 decades ago after the death of her husband. When asked about the secret to her long and healthy life, she refused to answer, saying she's not planning on revealing that secret. A surprise in a Chinese zoo ahead of the Lunar New Year. 15 rare golden tigers make debut in front of excited fans. A large group of visitors gathered in China's Yellow River Delta Zoo to watch the rare animals. This zoo is the largest breeding base for golden species of tigers across China. The animals are being strictly protected amid fears surrounding their extinction. The golden tigers are a variant of Bengali tigers with rare color variations, including black strips. They are no longer extant in the wild.
The most powerful telescope ever built in the world is now at its final destination in space. After traveling for nearly 1 month, NASA's James Webb Space Telescope has reached its final parking spot in space, which is approximately 1 million miles away from Earth. The mission of the tennis court-sized telescope is to explore the cosmos and better understand the early days of the universe. The $10 billion telescope will also carefully monitor faraway exoplanets and study the atmospheres of planets outside our solar system. It's more advanced than NASA's iconic Hubble telescope. Streets in the Taiwanese capital are decorated vividly to welcome the Year of the Tiger beginning on February the 5th. Residents are using tiger sculptures and totems to adorn the streets of Taipei. Shops are booming as people head out to buy special couplets ahead of the new year, also called the Spring Festival. Many are hoping they can completely defeat COVID-19 this year, as celebrations were scaled down due to the pandemic last year. The Chinese New Year is celebrated by almost 2 billion people across the world, though mainly in Asia. There are 12 animals representing each lunar year on the Chinese calendar. This year's zodiac is the tiger, a symbol of strength and power. A national zoo in Washington is now home to a new quill-covered resident, the second offspring of a porcupine family. Zoo staff reported the birth of the porcupine pet earlier this month during a snowstorm. They say they are awaiting a DNA analysis to reveal more information about the baby porcupine. Its brother is now 4 years old. The two siblings are the fourth generation of this family to live in the zoo's mammal house. These animals are born with the ability to climb and look almost identical until they are 6 months old. Natives of South America, these creatures are one of the 18 porcupine species that exist in the world today.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful,
Dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, and especially this program, today is a special Salam, peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you, and welcome to this episode under the topic of sleeping. Of course, we'll look at sleeping in the view of Islam. I invite you to be with this episode of today's special. Open the calendar. Today, Monday, is the 5th of Rajab, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 18th of Bahman, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 7th of February, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment of today's special by recitation of Chapter Al-An'am, Chapter 6 of the Holy Quran, Verse 60.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وهو الذي يتوفاكم بالليل ويعلم ما جرحتم بالنهار ثم يبعثكم فيه ليقضى أجل مسمى ثم إليه مرجعكم ثم ينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون.
And it is he who takes your souls by night and knows what you have committed by day. Then he revives you therein, that a specified term may be fulfilled. Then to him will be your return. Then he will inform you about what you used to do.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
By night, Allah takes activity out of your soul the same as He takes it by death. He's also aware of what you do during the day. During the night, you sleep, and during the day, you perform some activities. Then Allah will raise you up from your graves so that He reckons you for what you spend your lives upon. It is so until the appointed time comes forth when Allah has assigned for raising the dead from their graves and giving them the fruit of their deeds. This is the hereafter. Thus your return is unto him, that is, you will attend where you will be reckoned.
Ya Rabbi, Ya Rahman, Ya Mubdi' al-Akwan. Ya Rabbi, Ya Rahman, Ya Mubdi' al-Akwan. Ilayka qalban yadhub hubban بالنور والإيمان إليك قلبا يذوب حبا بالنور والإيمان بالنور والإيمان.
Let's know a little about the view of Islam about sleeping. Whoever sleeps after he has discharged his duties concerning obligatory and recommended prayers and has carried out his responsibilities sleeps a praiseworthy sleep. This is because people have ceased to guard their faith and to take care in observing their conduct. They have taken the left-hand path when a sincere bondsman strives not to speak out of place. How can he avoid hearing that which would prevent him from not speaking unless there is a safeguard? Sleep is one such safeguard. As Allah said in chapter 17, verse 36,
Surely the hearing and the sight and the heart, all of these shall be questioned about that. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin as-Sain. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the importance of sleeping. According to certain Quranic verses, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam specified around one third of every night to prayer and supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another indication is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was really very, very zealous in performing these supplementary and additional prayers, especially at midnight, such that in some cases, doing this wasn't, good for his health. Because of this, he received some instructions from God in order to make it lesser. So that his body health wouldn't be at risk. At the same time, as indicated in certain Quranic verses, it's indicated and it's certain that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in addition to performing midnight prayers and midnight salat, he used to recited the Holy Quran at that time. On the other hand, it deserves mention, it's mark worthy that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sleeping wasn't, like our sleeping, because when we sleep, we get cut off from the world around us. However, in the case of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was a divine prophet, he was the final divine prophet. His sleeping wasn't sleeping, for example, by spirit or, for example, by other, for example, higher organs or systems of, nervous systems. So rather, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was capable of receiving the news of what went on around him while he was still asleep.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
The etiquette of sleeping. In the continuation of today's a special. Set an alarm to wake up for Fajr prayer. This is a good advice. Fajr is the first and earliest prayer in the day, usually performed an hour before sunrise. To wake up on time and not to miss it, set an alarm a few minutes before the prayer is at. The Messenger of Allah has said whoever performs the prayer before the rising of the sun or Fajr and before its setting, Asr, will not enter hell. And whoever prays the two cooler prayer times, Fajr and Asr, will enter paradise. Getting up for Fajr is a struggle for many Muslims, especially in the summer in northern latitudes, if they are not used to waking up so early. They try your best to go to bed right away after Salatul Isha, so you'll be able to wake up earlier in the morning. Never ever be tempted to miss Fajr. Allah does not ask for much in return for everything that He provides. So always remember that prayer is the first thing they will be examining on the Day of Judgment.
I know I'm waiting for something, something to her, to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free. My Lord, show me right from wrong. Give me light, make me strong. I know the road is long. Make me strong.
Hygiene of Sleep. Thank you very much for joining today's special from IRIB English Radio. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam enjoined upon the Muslims to recite and meditate upon the text of the verse of the Holy Quran entitled Ayatul Kursi and the last three chapters from the Holy Quran before going to bed. These verses are not recited like a charm. They deal with the most sublime attributes of Allah and as such deeply impress the mind of the individual. Contemplation of these divine attributes purifies and elevates the soul. One seeks protection with Allah from all evil ideas and mischievous things. This practice, if intelligently carried out, becomes a great source of moral strength. Sleepiness is a frequent cause and accompaniment of insanity. Hence, it is very important to get a good night's rest. Sleeplessness can be overcome by concentration of ideas at bedtime. Factors which help in concentration and bring on sleep are ablution at bedtime, warm bath, and hot drinks.
Narrated by Zurara and others, when Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam is asked regarding sleep, which sleep entails performing wudu? Is it all sleep or is it some sleep? The Imam makes a difference. He draws a difference between the sleep of the eyes and the sleep of the ears. If it's just the sleep of the eyes, this does not entail wudu. This is not a hadath. You have not invalidated your wudu. Zurara, for example, he asked Imam al-Sadiq that if my head falls, you know, when you're asleep, if you're sitting in a car or you're sitting down, your head falls once or twice, do I need wudu? The Imam says, no, you do not need wudu for that. But if you sleep and you can no longer hear, then you need wudu. So again, we see a difference between the sleep of the eyes and the sleep of the ears. The first, we can call it a minor sleep, which does not entail wudu. While the second, the sleep of the ears, the major sleep, will entail, would require wudu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we read the Quran, we discover that sleep is a minor death. Yes, it is a minor death. Because during sleep, our souls leave the bodies. Just like in death, when the soul departs the body and never returns again, the difference between sleep and death is that both of them, the soul leaves the body. But in sleep, the soul does not decouple from the body. It departs, but it comes back. It remains. It remains with the body. It doesn't depart all the way. While in death, the soul departs and it decouples. It leaves the body. It separates from the body. That is the difference.
That was all for today's special. Inshallah, we continue this topic, sleeping in the view of Islam. Thank you very much for joining us. Till another episode, fi amanallah.
They told me that I'm crazy, who you praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were like
Yes, I was mesmerized, but deep inside I know that there's a better world. 'Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.